Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void. We're prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. But you can't bowl and you can't throw. I'm just telling you what everybody knows. Absolute sense. You put down all the talent that hit you out of the ground. Don't ask what it was, Karen and Joe. So you can't bowl and you can't throw.
In a week where the ICC introduced numerous changes to the laws, including Matthew Wade's right to shove an England fielder out of the way, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
They said, did we want to appeal? But I said no. I just had my eyes on the ball the whole time, so I didn't really see what happened. And we've only just got to Australia, so I thought, just carry on the game.
Maybe if it was a World Cup game, you might
have... I didn't see it live. I was just looking at the ball, so... I just thought it's quite hard. I don't know what I'm appealing for, really.
You're here with Dan Lipke and Kat Jones and Joss Butler explaining why he did not appeal for Matthew Wade shoving Mark Wood out of the way as he tried to take a catch.
Isn't Matthew Wade just an absolute delight?
He is. He's very funny. He completely brazen about it. Didn't care. He like tried to hook the shot. The ball cannoned off his helmet and went straight up in the air. And Wood was about to catch it coming through. And Matthew Wade said, "No, I'm getting back to the crease. And in the process, I'm just going to shove you out of the way." So
incredible.
All very good.
I mean, really, it probably would have been Mark Wood's argument to Butler that Mark Wood is the one who should have said, "Hang on, we should appeal this."
Oh, Mark
right?
would have got a wicket.
Yeah. But so it's not Butler. If Butler wasn't looking, then you know, quite often people are ball watching, right? You know, they say don't ball watch. But where are you supposed to? We can't look everywhere on the field.
Yeah, I mean, he may not have been like he was literally right there. He was 2 meters away from him, like coming in to try and get the ball himself. So maybe he wasn't watching exactly what Matthew Wade was doing. But yeah, still, I would have thought someone, Mark Wood was probably watching the ball as well. He was trying to take the catch too. So you would have thought someone might have said, "Hey, do you want to get rid of Matthew Wade?" He said, "Nah, I can't be bothered. Let's be nice. First game here."
Yeah.
Why is Joss Butler so needy? Why does he need Australian crowds' approval so much?
This is definitely a new thing because in previous times, England don't care about the Australian crowd too much, and they shouldn't care.
Yeah. I mean, he's certainly no Douglas Jardine, is he? He's very concerned about whether the Australian crowds will like him or not.
Well, he might lose some Instagram followers.
He might, yeah. I guess there's a few there, yes. But England won't man CAD. We've also learned that they won't appeal for obstructing the field, although he did say they might later in a tour. So do they just add dismissals as they go along further in a tour of a country? So they show up and they won't take your wicket in any way. They may bowl you, but that's probably it. And then the rest, they just add them in slowly over time.
Yeah,
by the World Cup final, they'll time you out. They won't care. They'll do anything.
Yeah. I think you've got to be prepared for anything in the final.
We did have the Daily Telegraph. They asked an interesting question, didn't they?
Yes. They said, what will happen if everybody does what Matthew Wade did?
And I guess the answer is every other nation in the world will just – appeal for obstructing the field and the batter will be out. I think that's the solution. I think once again, England journalists and cricketers are looking for complicated solutions to problems already solved by abiding by the laws of cricket. So.
Yeah, there is actually a law there for this. Yeah. But I would prefer it if, you know, Wade was holding back Mark Wood. They perhaps could introduce a law where there's something a bit more official, like maybe they should have stopped and had a quick arm wrestle to decide.
Who's the stronger?
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, if Mark Wood won that, then he could go forward for the catch.
Mm.
So, yeah, all sorts of possibilities there.
Well, a few years back, of course, Australia did appeal when Ben Stokes obstructed the field when he threw an arm out as Mitchell Starc tried to throw the stumps down. And do you remember who was leading the appeal for that?
No.
It was Matthew Wade from behind the stumps. So God bless Matthew Wade. He's an absolute hero. Anyway, there have been some other rule changes from the ICC. So probably the most notable is that after a batter is caught, the new batter will now face the next ball, even if the batters have crossed while the ball is in the air. So I'm glad they got rid of that. That was a scourge on the game, wasn't it? All these batters crossing.
Yep.
Terrible. Terrible aspect of the game.
Terrible aspect. And we've seen that this has already flown through to junior cricket.
Well, we did see that. And I think they applied it incorrectly because they did it for a run out rather than a catch in the air. So. Anyway, as long as junior cricketers are getting confused, that's the important thing.
As long as approximate rules are being followed in junior cricket, I think that's the main thing, isn't it?
Yeah. There's also a new dead ball rule. Basically, if teams are disadvantaged, if play is interrupted by an invader, such as a dog or Jarvo, the umpires can call dead ball. So that's a good way to stop Jarvo from making a nuisance of himself again.
I do like the idea that previous to this, the ball was still alive. Yeah. If a dog comes onto the pitch, grabs the ball, and you can just keep running.
Yep.
You know,
or Jarvo.
He could grab the ball too. Yep. He's got to, you know, this was a big incentive for people to invade the pitch previously. So now this is obviously clamping down hard.
Yes. And the other final major rule change is that they're going to stick to this thing where you can no longer put saliva on the ball. After a couple of years of COVID, they said, you know, even without COVID as big a threat as it was, it's still pretty gross.
It's still gross.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
Lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, but we just have time to cover still more T20 cricket. It's never ending at this stage.
Absolutely. And you know what? Even already the most bizarre moment of this cricket season has happened with Wade hanging on to Mark Wood. I don't think anything in the World Cup's going to really surpass that.
Oh, that would be sad, but you're probably right. I would like to think they could pull out something just as ridiculous during the World Cup, but that's a good standard has been set by the Australians and England.
Yeah.
We did have a couple of weird moments in the Australia-West Indies games, which took place last week. So we had a little bit of drunk Hawkeye. Australia reviewed a Starc LBW shout and then they saw the replays of it and they said, oh, well, that's pretty obviously heading down leg side. So they all wandered back to their fielding positions. Then all of a sudden Hawkeye popped up and said, no, that's hitting the stumps.
It's
and
out.
They're like, oh, shit, okay. So they had to run all the way back into the huddle again.
Yeah, that was fantastic. We also had some more Matt Wade cameos here and that panicky final over in their second
I think it was the
match.
First one.
Oh, the first match.
Yeah.
There were a couple of collisions and Matt Wade collided with the bowler. And
warming up for England, right?
Yeah, so as well as those collisions, there were a couple of drop catches. Mm. So a very exciting final over. Was that the one where we needed 11 from
it was.
Six?
Yeah.
And Matty Wade, you know, got Australia home.
Yep.
I won't be happy until he gets top dollar at the next IPL auction.
He like, should,
absolutely.
Right?
I'll be furious if he goes under, I don't know, $1 million.
He and Cameron Green should try and do some kind of package deal because that's a comical package deal because Cameron Green, as you may have heard, is quite tall and Matty Wade is pretty short. So I think they could come together, just you know, tied together, say, look, bid for both of us and see what you get.
Yeah, that's right. And how was Starc? He took these fantastic caught and bowled chances as well, right?
Yeah, he took this. Yeah, more unfair than any Mancat has ever been. This caught and bowled. He somehow got it on his follow through in the wrong hand. Like it was driven back into his right hand and he somehow twisted his left hand around to catch. I know he's left-handed, but still, it was a very
incredible,
strange way to catch it.
Yeah.
And, of course, we also had Tim David going silly in the second match against the West Indies, which means I think that Australia's R-naught for Tim David fever is officially out of control.
Doesn't stop there being plenty of people and plenty of casuals, including any random child that wanders past our TV screen going, who the hell's Tim David and why is he in the team? Doesn't matter how good Tim David is. That, I think, will happen. and
yeah, well, we know Tim David fever is like takes a while to infect younger children. That's more effective against fans of the game.
Yes,
like
such big incubation period for Tim David fever. Yeah.
And of course, apart from the Wade fend on wood, there were other highlights. We had Brad Haddon in commentary deliberately calling Joss Butler Josh for the entire innings, which maybe that's why Joss Butler wants Australian approval, right? He's come on, guys, just get my name right. That's all I ask of you.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was hoping that Haddon would call all the England players by incorrect names, like Alec Hales and David Milan and Ken Stokes.
Great.
But he didn't really do this. But I reckon
I think he did, actually.
I think he did it throughout his playing career. I can imagine him behind the stumps just getting everybody's name wrong.
That's a very good sledge, isn't it? Getting people's name wrong and
just
not...
Just slightly wrong.
And not doing it obviously, but just repeatedly doing it.
That's very annoying.
It is incredibly annoying when that happens. So I think that would be an effective sledge that really you can't be blamed for. You could just be saying something nice. The other thing that was very amusing actually about the commentators is the fact that they were clearly commentating off a TV screen.
Certainly for the West Indies games,
They weren't very good at it.
They weren't very good at it, no. They've had a couple of years of practice. I'm not quite sure why they're so bad at it.
Oh, they were so funny. It was just, you know, it really sounded like they were on the couch with a beer. No idea
Mark
where the ball...
almost certainly was.
No idea where the ball went. And I've commentated off the TV. It is quite an art, but it doesn't take long. And there's ways of saying where you think the ball's gone and then clarifying once you actually know. Yeah. And they weren't doing any of that.
Anyway, maybe they'll get used to it. A few more years of cutbacks at Fox Sports, they'll be fine.
Maybe.
And we did have Don Bredick on Twitter. he pointed out that Cam Green's runs in India appear primarily to have encouraged Stoinis to start more proactively and finally sort out how to handle Adil Rashid. So I think that's the whole reason now for Cam Green. Oh, I said Tom Green.
You and Ed deliberately getting everybody's name wrong.
Yeah, so that's the real reason for Tom Green playing in these first few matches.
Yeah.
Just to get Stoinis and Mitch Marsh to, bloody hell, we better do something here, otherwise he's going to pop up and take our spots. We'll be shoveled off and given a fake injury to get him into the squad.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
Well, this particular podcast is sponsored by a different podcast. It's sponsored by the Ridiculous Ashes podcast, which is the podcast I do with Alex Bowden. And we are, this time around, we're covering the 2013 Ashes. So we've covered the first two tests so far. You probably recall, you may or may not recall, I don't know. I don't know how devoted you are to these things. But you may recall that the first test had two classically ridiculous moments. We had Ashton Agar's 98 and Broad not walking after he edged it. Via the wicketkeeper.
Absolute classics, both of them.
Yeah. So, so huge were those two moments that Alex and I could not be separated in deciding which was the more ridiculous. So we had to get Pat Cummins on to help sort it all out. And that bit's not a joke. That actually happened. So you could listen to that one. And the second test is also there too. And this one has Watto growing into his role as a review waster. We also have Graham Swan instigating what he described as the worst piece of cricket in test history. And of course, the famous... That decision sucked ass. # bullshit from Cricket Australia.
Fabulous series that was. So it's just bringing back some wonderful memories, and you should absolutely listen to the Ridiculous Ashes just to remind yourselves what fun that series was.
Yes. So as soon as you finish listening to this one, go to wherever you got this Can't Bowl, Can't Throw podcast from and search for Ridiculous Ashes and download it there.
I was approached by a man who I later discovered to be a bookmaker from India. I was fined $10,000 and paid my fine immediately. I realised and accept fully that my actions were naive and stupid. I realised that I was very naive and stupid and stupid and stupid.
Here we are in Cat's Gambling Corner.
Yeah.
What have you got for her this time?
Well, I have not yet been approached by any bookmakers from India or any other country. So we've got some odds of who's going to win the tournament. Mm. Let's have some of these odds from one of the major gambling companies. We won't say which one. No. They're all as evil as each other,
exactly.
Correct? And so, of course, Australia are short odds to win the tournament. But actually,
presumably that's because it's an Australian bookmaking company. I can't believe they're proper favourites.
You don't think so? In Australia? And also,
in Australian conditions, that helps,
I guess. you know, maybe the odds are, but the odds are not greatly in Australia's favour. Like, they're not 2-1. They're actually almost 4-1.
Yeah.
And England are very close second.
Yeah. Australia, England and India are all on one, like, top tier, right?
Yeah. They're all kind of 4-1. So
none of them are great bets because they may win it, but they're...
You won't win very much. You put 20 cents on, you'll only get 80 cents.
Yeah.
And you won't even be able to buy an icy pole with that.
No, definitely not. Save your 20 cents. Bet it on someone more interesting.
Save your 20 cents for sure. Sure. So the next tier are, I guess, South Africa, New Zealand and Pakistan, all who are already through to the final stages there. They're all about 8-9-1.
Yep.
So that's a reasonable bet. And then you have a couple of fairly good value bets here. This is Sri Lanka and the West Indies. They have to get through the early stages before the group – what do you call the early stages?
I think that is the group stage.
I'm not –
I can't remember the names. Anyway. The preliminary stage.
The qualifying stages, whatever that is. So Sri Lanka at 19, I mean, I don't think they're going to win it, so I'm not sure that's a great bet. West Indies at 26, bit of an outside chance, actually.
I think Sri Lanka are actually a better chance than the West Indies. Yeah, I don't mind Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka have got a few good players in their team.
So I guess it depends, obviously, on your risk aversion. Mm. And then we have, if you want to win a lot of money, put your 20 cents on Zimbabwe at 501.
Yeah, good bet. Yeah. Oh, well, they've already been out here this summer already. They're acclimatised.
Indeed, they are.
What about the most wickets?
Well, the most wickets, let's have a look. I've actually personally put a bet on... I'm just having a look at my bets. I've only bet on a couple of things. I put a bet on Josh Hazlewood as being player of the tournament.
Oh, okay. That's a good bet.
I'm not sure it is a good bet, but anyway.
No. I don't think betting on any Australian is a good bet. This tournament.
But Hazlewood's at 18.
Yeah.
18-1 for the most wickets.
Mm-hmm.
But the Australian who is the shortest odds is Adam Zampa, 15-1. And then we have Hasaranga, 10. 10-1.
Yeah.
He's not Australian, of course.
No. Although they'd like to have him, I think so. I like Rashid Khan at 26. I think he's got lots of big bash experience. Afghanistan have already qualified. They don't have to go through this preliminary round. I think he's a good bet.
You're
at 26.
Right. That is a good bet. Let me mark that one down. Mm. I haven't put a bet on the most wickets yet.
Mm.
So there's some good. Look, I think you do probably need to bet on a spinner here. Mm. So if you're going to put a bet on someone, put a bet on a spinner.
Yep.
And I wouldn't. Yeah, I'm with you. I wouldn't be putting it on Adam Zampa. I think Rashid Khan's a good bet there.
Yep.
Anyway. Let's go on to say the most runs is another useful thing. Now here we've got a couple of Australians in the running for short odds here. David Warner being one of them, and that's a fairly boring bet.
It's a very boring bet, yeah.
So if you're wanting a good value bet, I would probably be going say Nicholas Puran at 18, maybe. Another really poor bet would be Virat Kohli.
Yeah.
At 18, terrible bet.
Trillions of money on Virat Kohli.
Yeah, but Rohit Sharma at 12, you're not going to win very much money. No. But, I mean, he could easily get – or Rahul, they're both at 12.50.
Yeah.
Either of those could definitely be – you know, you want to – for most runs, it's who's going to take the highest proportion of runs in a team.
Well, that's why if I'm not going to bet on any Australians, but if I were going to do so, Finch at 41 is a good one. Finch is out of form in ODIs, and everybody seems to think that means he was out of form in T20s. He's been okay in T20s.
Mm.
He's going to be at the top of the order again. 41's a good bet. Anyway, I'm not betting on an Australian, so I would probably – Kane Williamson at 34, he probably won't score the runs quickly, but he'll probably get a lot of balls to face.
Yeah.
So I think Kane Williamson at 34 is okay.
Yeah, you've got to bet on someone who's going to take the proportionate amount, high proportion of runs from them. So the only other bet that I've actually – put on personally at the moment, and this is, I've put a dollar on these, so you're very low amounts of money, is Matthew Wade.
Yes, of course.
I had to put a bet on Matty Wade. I wanted to put a bet on him as being player
as being
of the tournament.
Sent off.
yeah, maybe. A most bizarre dismissal, which I think you can actually bet on.
Yeah.
But Matty Wade, this is a terrible bet too, because I've put a bet on him as the top Australian tournament run scorer, which would require a first order collapse. Yeah, a big first order collapse. So therefore, the betting was reasonably good odds for that.
Yeah, I'm tempted to put a multi on Ben Stokes being both the top run scorer and top wicket taker. So he's 51 for the former, and he pays 101 for the latter. So if you put $2 on it, you can win $10,000 if he tops both things. If he has a rich vein of Ben Stokes form,
and I won $500 I think on a $1 bet on Ben Stokes in the last Ashes.
Yep.
So I think that. That's a good call. I can't hold
can't throw coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week, the funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is gonna join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller Award.
And here we are in the Moeller Award for underappreciated acts of lunacy in cricket. And we have about four nominations. And the first one I'm going to give you, Dan, is in the second T20, India were playing South Africa. Mm-hmm. Not sure if they were playing seven T20s, but they were playing a few.
They were playing a few, yeah. I think they've switched to ODIs now for some reason, which seems very strange.
Yes, you would think they would be practicing the format of the year, of the day. But anyway, so we actually had a snake.
Mm.
A snake came out of... I think it was the helmet pit, was it?
They said some small unnoticed pit. So
I'm not sure. It could be a sprinkler hole or something like that. But anyway, it came out at extra cover and it must have scared the crap out of Wayne Parnell, who was fielding there.
Yep.
I love the commentary. The snake came out of nowhere from a small unnoticed pit to scare Wayne Parnell at the extra cover region. It then slithered into the square leg region.
So the South African captain just said, no, don't watch it at extra cover. Move down to square leg.
Yep.
Fantastic.
We need to keep a track of where that snake is, and the batter needs to be well aware.
Mm, mm. I think a few snakes are okay in the shorter forms of the game. I wouldn't want to see them in tests, though.
That's a fair way for that snake to slither. Did it go across the pitch?
Probably.
It's gone from extra cover all the way to the leg side.
Yep.
My goodness, that's... I guess that's no one was willing to pick it up.
Yeah.
I wonder what the protocol is. Like, when there's bees, everyone has to get down on their stomach. What do you have to do if there's snakes?
You find some anti-venom.
You run and hide behind the umpire, I think, is the answer.
Yes. The next nomination, we've got Joe Root, who did not play in Yorkshire's final match of the county cricket season, which saw Yorkshire relegated, which made a few Yorkshire fans unhappy, because Joe Root was instead photographed playing golf with Michael Vaughan, Piers Morgan and Kevin Peterson, which, as a friend of the podcast, Tom Evans, put it, was surely some kind of hostage situation. I mean, that's horrifying, isn't it?
Well, it's horrifying that he didn't play in the Yorkshire final match and instead went to play golf.
Yeah, well, he's on a break, I think.
Yeah, who knows? But yes, what a group, what a force. I mean, if you were playing golf, which I know you do regularly, and they said, next, you're on your own, we'll put you with this three, and that's obviously Joe Root's going, oh my God, look who I've been put with.
Yeah, maybe that's what happened to Johnny Bairstow. Maybe he was with those three as well and thought, oh, I'd rather break my leg in 15 places than stick around with these lot anymore.
Yeah, or he just went, look, I'm going to spend most of my time in the rough. Thank you very much. I don't want to be walking down the fairway. Yes. Wowee.
What's our next nomination?
So Nick Maddinson, he had a big bat, and I think he had the big bat in the previous Muller. Yeah. But eventually Durham was docked 10 championship points for this big bat.
Yes. Do you think it's a bit harsh?
Yeah, I think it probably is a bit harsh. Don't they realise that bats grow throughout the season?
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of rain in the county season, and the bats get bigger and bigger. They swell up.
Yep. So very, very harsh. I mean, although, to be honest, I have no idea what 10 championship points means. I mean, they could earn 1,000 for every win. Maybe negligible.
Maybe.
The final Muller we have, it's not really that much of a Muller. It's just a good news story that women's cricket will feature at the 2026 Commonwealth Games in Victoria, which means Australia already have one gold medal locked in for those games. That's great news.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I guess we do have the other Muller. You know, we almost have to award the Muller to Maddie Wade for holding on to Josh Butler. But the other...
To Josh Butler.
Yeah. Josh Butler. The other...
It wasn't Josh Butler. It was Mick Wood.
Oh, that's right.
All right. So I think it's... Let's give it to the snake. I'm too scared of the snake to not give it the Muller.
Give it to the
Congratulations
snake.
To the snake. First snake, I think, to win a Muller.
Yep.
So I think that wraps us up. You've been listening to Dan Lipke. I'm at Lieb Cricket on Twitter.
And you've been listening to Kat Jones at Cricket Bat Kat on Twitter. And you can also go for at Can't Ball Throw on Twitter. And we are on some other social medias. You can just search for Don Lipke and Cam Jones. In all of those places. We'll see you next week.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.